Hi, this is Gary Brumbelow. I'm so glad you've chosen to listen to this sermon, and I trust you will find something of real benefit in what you're about to hear. You may be clicking on from anywhere in the world, but if you're in the vicinity of Troutdale near Portland, Oregon, we'd love to have you in our service every Sunday at 11 o'clock. We're located at 921 Buxton Avenue, a half mile above the historic downtown Troutdale. But in any case, may God bless you richly. Thank you for listening. So, I want to encourage you to open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. I'm so glad you're here. You know, at one level, if you're going to present something, whether it's music or drama or a sermon, it's just, and this is a little bit of an old joke, it's just so much more satisfactory when people actually show up, you know. And I want to bear witness of something about all of this. For years, when I pictured the ministry of preaching, I pictured, you know, a preacher and lots of people out there. And the Lord has been working in my heart since I've been at Troutdale Community Church. And I've come to recognize that I was mistaken about that. It isn't about lots of people out there. Some churches have that, and that's fine. But God is bringing me to a place, if one person came, if one person was here for me to share what God has laid on my heart from the Word of God, I would consider that a privilege. I hope he doesn't test me with that. But thank you for being here. I'm just delighted. And I see what's happening is I'm growing in the grace of God. And I trust you are too, because God wants all of us to grow. And maybe we should have a testimony time some one of these days, Pastor Barton, and just give people an opportunity to talk about how God is growing you. So that's a little bit of testimony from me. Anyway, may the Lord meet with us. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, we went through 1 Peter a while back, but we didn't cover every single part of it, and happily, this is a part that we jumped over before. We're going to look at it this morning. I'm going to be mostly in verses 10 and 11, but we'll start with verse 7 for the reading. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. This was written first century to suffering churches being persecuted in what is now Turkey. So if you know about Turkey, about where that is, sort of the bridge between Europe and Asia, the Black Sea there, that's who he's writing to. And yet God is inspiring him so that what he writes is not just his reflections, it's what God was saying to them, and he's saying now to us. This is the word of the eternal God. Let's consider that as we read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now, Lord, to you, to the one to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever, who intends to share that glory and has already shared that dominion to some extent to your human creatures, to you we come in light of the next half hour or so and ask that by your Spirit we may come to understand something anew and to be changed by your word more and more to look like your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who can tell us about a favorite gift that you receive sometime? Maybe for Christmas, maybe for a birthday. If you're like me, you've forgotten most of your gifts. But who can remember? Did I just see a raised hand?
Recently I received a gift.
Wow. What kind of massage?
A hot stone massage.
A hot stone massage. That sounds like a treat. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Joe?
A gift card to Burgerville.
Burgerville? Okay. I have an idea how you used that. I have a pretty good idea how you used that. Donna?
Wow.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you for that. Nadia? I wonder who gave you that. So you still ride that bicycle, don't you? You do all the way from Seattle to Portland. Okay, one more. Dan?
I couldn't go to bed without it.
How about that? That was very precious to you.
Even when I broke my elbow.
This was a while back, right? Okay. Okay, thank you for sharing those. And it occurs to me, I might have asked, how is the world different as a result of your gift? But that might be pushing a little bit far when we're talking about, but some of these gifts are very precious and the world might change. But here's what I'm thinking about. Some gifts do achieve lasting results. I told my teenage son, so we have two boys, and they're now, well, one of them's getting towards 40 one of these days. He's going to be 40 in a couple of years, but one time they were teenagers. And I told them a little fable one time. I said, guys, let's say that you got up, and this was when they were teenagers, let's say that you got up and you came into the living room one day and you saw something that you had never noticed before. You saw a very rare-looking, expensive-looking coin. You'd never noticed it before, and there it was on the bookshelf. And you asked me, Dad, what's this? Whose is this? And let's say I were to say, well, it's yours. It's yours. It's mine? Yeah. Well, I don't understand. When did you get it? Oh, it's been around for a long time. Well, it's mine, yes, it's yours. You mean I have it, I can spend it? I said, it's yours to do with as you choose, but we need to talk first. And then I went on to tell these guys that coin represents the gift of sexuality. Human sexuality is a gift from God, a very rare and powerful gift from God. And you've had it for a long time. You've had it ever since you were born. You just never noticed it until now. That's what starts happening about those puberty years, of course. But it's a gift. God gave humans the power to create new humans. And that's very amazing. We take it for granted because, you know, it happens all the time. But that's a really wonderful gift of God. And with rare exceptions, every human receives it, and almost every human uses it. And sadly, of course, it's misused more often than not. But when it's used wisely and virtuously, it brings great blessing to a family and to the community, to the whole society, when it's used virtuously. And that's true of every gift of God. God gives gifts, and when we use them wisely, when we use them well, He blesses us. It's true of the gift of human sexuality, and it's true of what the Bible calls spiritual gifts, which is what we're going to look at today. That is something that you do well because God has gifted you to do it. We all are good at different things, right? Some people are good at reading or writing or math, different school subjects. Some people are good at sports, exploring the outdoors, working with computers. Some people are good at music. There's all kinds of different abilities that we have as gifts. All of those gifts come from God. And He wants you to use your gift in the right way, as we will see. The Bible says that every Christian has received at least one spiritual gift. That is, if you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, God has given you a spiritual gift, a special ability to serve others for that specific purpose. And you are a steward of your spiritual gift. God cares very much how you use your spiritual gift. So we're going to wrestle today with this question, how should you use your gift? What should you do with your gift? In the last few weeks, we've been talking about stewardship. A steward is someone who manages the property of another. The classic illustration of that is the house sitter. They take care of somebody else's house. So when we say we are stewards, when the Bible says we are stewards, that means we're taking care of God's property. We've seen that we are stewards of our time. Our time all belongs to God. It's not to be wasted or used foolishly. It's God's. That's true of our possessions as well. All the possessions we have are God's possessions. It's true of our body. We had a little bit of a review of that in Sunday school this morning. Thank you for that, Pastor Bart. And as we saw last week, we're stewards of our marriage. Today, we're going to think together about how we are stewards of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given us. That's the point of today's text from verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. You're a steward of the grace of God represented in the gift he has given you. This text speaks to the question, what should you do with your gift? As I mentioned earlier, Peter was writing about 62 or 63 AD. He's writing to Christians who are being persecuted. He's saying to them, you need to help one another in this difficult time. And one way you do that, one very important way you help one another, is by the use of your gifts. Each one using his gift to serve others. Life in the church is to be a life of serving each other, and God gave you a gift to serve others. Now, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that God gives gifts, right? I mean, after all, you give gifts to your children. I give gifts to my children. We are God's children. And if we can come up with giving a gift to our children, certainly God can. Jesus said one time, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And he does. He gives good gifts to those who ask him, even though we don't deserve it. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth was really messed up, very selfish, self-centered, very carnal, a very immature church. And yet Paul said to this to them at the beginning of his letter, you are not lacking in any gift. So we don't even deserve the gifts God gives us, but he gives them anyway. And if God were here today, and of course he is, if we were hearing God's voice, and I trust we are, I believe he would say, you folks at Troutdale Community Church, you are not lacking in any gift, because I've given each of you a special gift. There may be times when you felt left out at Christmas, abandoned at your birthday. I've had people tell me of the painful experience of seeing their siblings receive gifts and they didn't receive any because there was such a fierce favoritism going on in the family. And I can't imagine the pain of that. It doesn't happen in the family of God. God's love extends to every individual, every one of his children. He has given you a special gift. Now, this may prompt a question for you, and in fact, I hope it does, even though we're not going to answer it today. How do I know what my gift is? That would be a sermon for another day, and maybe we'll take that up, and especially if you're interested in that, come talk to me afterward. Today, what we're going to focus on is not what is your gift or how do you find out your gift, but here's what we're going to focus on today. What should you do with your gift? And that's a sort of foundation that needs to be clear to us before we even maybe know what our gift is. What should we do with your gift? That's the question in view here in this text. And the Bible tells us, the writer here in this text tells us, each has received a special gift. God has given you a special gift. What should you do with it? And Peter answers that question in three ways. Here's the first one. Use your gift to serve God's people. The context for the use of your gift is the people of God, the local church where you are part of. That's the place of activity, you might say, for the use of your gift. Use it to serve one another. You know what? It's not for yourself. Your gift is not for yourself. It's for the purpose of serving one another. Did you see that again in verse 10? As each has received a gift, Use it to serve one another. God gives gifts so that his children can use them to serve one another. Now, that's not to say that we ignore those outside the church. No, of course not. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." God gives gifts to serve one another. Now, in a minute, we're going to see some more detail about what these gifts are. But first, it's necessary to see that God gave them so we can serve one another. The church is a group of people who are to be serving one another in love. I serve you with my gifts. You serve me with your gifts. We all serve each other with your gifts. Your gift is not for yourself. It's for serving others. So, Brother Gene here, I'll pick on him for a minute. He has a music gift. Did you notice? He doesn't go back in here and close the door and sing to himself. He uses his gift to help all of us worship with this wonderful thing of music. He uses his gift for, that's what a gift is for. It's to serve one another. I've been in Jean Sigler's home. She has a very neat, orderly home. And I bet she serves good meals in her home, but she doesn't use it just for that. She uses her gift to serve us, that gift of hospitality. That's the point. You see, your gift is not for your own benefit. It's for the benefit of others. And there's no joy like using your gift to serve others. Our younger son is a musician. And when he was a teenager, he had dreams of being up on the stage and having lots of fans, you know, and real popular. And he has the talent to do that. He could do that. But we watched something. As he grew in his relationship with Christ, he came to realize, it's not about me. This gift is not for me. And he went to Merrillhurst University, and he completed a program in music therapy. Music therapy. So you remember, you know, they even told him this in Merrillhurst University, the very first recorded instance of music therapy. Can anybody tell me what it was? David playing his harp for Saul in his mental issues. And the Bible says the music that David played brought calm to Saul's heart. And now our son uses his music to minister to hurting people. Because it's not about him. It's about serving others. We are to use our gifts to serve one another. God gives each of his gifts, each of his children a gift. Look at verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God's grace is so big, it's so full, it's so diverse that it must be poured through many, many people for it to have its intended effect in the life of humans. And so each has a gift. Each is a steward of God's grace by use of your gift. So what should you do with your gift? You should use it to serve one another. And then we come to the second answer Peter gives. What should you do with your gift? You should speak with God's voice, serve with God's hands. Here's how you are to use your gift. Those with speaking gifts should speak, as it were, with God's voice. And those who have serving gifts should serve with God's hands. Look at verse 11. Whoever speaks, so he just said, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Speak with God's voice, serve with God's hands. Now, he's not saying here that there's only two spiritual gifts, serving and speaking. The Bible lists 18 or 20 gifts. We're going to see them in just a second. Peter is just putting them into two categories. The gifts that are speaking, like preaching and teaching and exhorting, and the gifts that are serving gifts, like leading and showing mercy and serving. Those who are using speaking gifts need to speak with God's voice, and those who are using serving gifts need to serve with God's hands. Now, there's way too much about spiritual gifts to cover in one sermon. And maybe, as I said, we'll explore them more fully sometime. But here's the three main passages in the Bible about spiritual gifts. The first one in Romans, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Okay, so there's the grace again. And they differ according to each of us. Let us use them. If prophecy, there's a gift in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We're just going to do the survey here. In 1 Corinthians 12, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see, it's for the good of all. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge. So we're getting a catalog here. We're getting an exposure to what are these gifts. According to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, there's about 18 different gifts there. Some of them are repeated, and I believe it's a sampling. I don't think the Bible intends to give an exhaustive listing of the gifts. It's more like a sample. I'm not going to take the time to go into why I say that today. But at any rate, here in 1 Peter, he's summing up all these gifts in two categories, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And he has instructions for each. If you have a speaking gift like preaching or witnessing, evangelizing, Peter says, speak as one who speaks oracles of God. In other words, a speaking gift should not be used casually, certainly not irreverently. The word oracles, did you see that? One who speaks oracles of God, that word means eloquence. It means attractive and convincing speech. So, for preachers, and if you watch Pastor Bart and me, if you could be a fly on the wall, you would see this. It means preparation. It means lots of preparation. So we can speak appropriately, we can preach appropriately to the fact that we're handling the Word of God. Not slouching, not off the cuff. In conversation, it's fine. You speak off the cuff all the time in conversation or even in a lot of meetings. But when we are preaching, we need to be speaking as if the oracles of God. We need to work with in light of that fact, with fervency, with sobriety, you might say, appropriate to the occasion. A preacher may have a wonderful sense of humor, and you've got a couple of preachers who have a good sense of humor. And there's a place for humor in a sermon used wisely and judiciously to bring clarity to the text, to add to the sense of urgency. But we've all heard preachers who are just going for laughs. And when I hear a preacher doing that, I think about this text. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, speak with God's voice. And then Peter moves to the second category there, the serving gifts. So this would include things like showing mercy, leading, serving, hospitality. And how does the writer instruct these folks? Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies. That's what it says right there. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Serve with God's hands, as it were. Not in her own strength, not by his own power, but serving as an extension of God's power, as if he were God's hands, as if she were Jesus' fingers. And that makes all the difference, because yes, it's an ability that you have, but if you throw yourself on him, on God, on Jesus Christ, he can lift you up and make you even more effective. You see, you may be good at something, but sometimes you need help. And that's okay, because God is the one who's there to help you. He's gifted you to serve, and you still need to depend on him for the strength to serve as he would have you serve. And you know what, beloved? When everyone is serving one another, the body is working as God intended. And it's better for everybody when everyone is serving. Some churches operate on the 20-80 principle. You know what the 20-80 rule is? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 80% of the people stand back and let 20% of the people serve. Now, I have to say, in Troutdale Community Church, we do much better than that. Maybe almost the reverse. 80% of the people are involved. But, of course, God wants 100% of the people involved because he's given everybody a gift to use in the body, to serve one another, speaking with God's voice, serving with God's hands. And the writer has one more thing to say about our stewardship of the spiritual gifts he has given us, and this is the most important of all. Okay, we come to verse 11b, the second part of verse 11, and we see, what should you do with your gift? Make God look good. Make God look good. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. When God's children steward their gifts well, when we use the gifts God has given us as if they were his gifts, which they are, and steward them well, God gets glory. People come to see how wonderful he is, that he's a loving heavenly father as well as a righteous judge, and that makes God look good. My Bible says, in order that. Your Bible might say, so that. Whenever you see that phrase, that's indicating the purpose, the intention. Why is this happening? We should be good stewards of our spiritual gifts so that God will get glory, so that people will praise him and make him look good as he is good. That doesn't mean that you're making him look good, but he doesn't actually look good. That could happen to us. But no, you help people. When I say make God look good, what I really mean is help people see how good God is, how beautiful and glorious he already is. Glory belongs to him. Now, some people hear that and they might think, well, God must be pretty petty and self-centered to want people to glorify him. But of course, that's not the situation at all. It would be petty and self-centered and even hideous if a human wanted to receive glory from others and to be higher and better seen better as others. But no, not God, because glory belongs to God. It's his rightful possession. Did you see that? To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. It's one of the ways that God and humans are different. He's the creator, we're the creature. And what's more, when we give God the glory he deserves, we find life. When we glorify God as he deserves, when we bring others to glorify God, we find life. It has a very positive impact on our own hearts. It's a creation law. These two teenagers over here could tell you about creation laws because we talked about creation laws on Friday. Creation laws are things that God builds into our life that are a given. It's not a law like speed limit. It's a law like this is how things work in the world because God made it that way. So we talked about the law of gravity on Friday. If you get in a little car and go off of the roof of a building, you'll fall. And we heard a testimony like that. Why does that happen? Because God built it into the creation. It's a creation law. Here's another creation law. When you glorify God, good things happen to you. And I'm not talking about prosperity theology here, that you'll get a lot of money. It's much more, sometimes that happens. But it's not that you can claim that, okay, God, I pray to you now, please give me $100. No. Whenever the Bible speaks about prosperity, it's talking about a whole life prosperity, not just one dimension of life in terms of finances. But when you acknowledge God, when you live in light of his glory and greatness, you put yourself in a place where he can bless you, where he can strengthen you and encourage you and help you and give you joy. Sue read for us this morning verses that include this: fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You see where all that is going. I created all these for my glory. And tied with that is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you together. Pastor A.W. Tozer of another era says it like this: every soul belongs to God and exists by his pleasure. God being who and what he is, and we being who and what we are, the only thinkable relation between us is one of full lordship on his part and complete submission on ours. We owe him every honor that is in our power to give him. Our everlasting grief lies in giving him anything less. When you steward your gift, beloved, God gets glory. And did you see what that looks like? It happens through Jesus Christ, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. How does that work? How does Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, how does he fit into this picture? Here's how, as we close, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God became human, was born, he lived, he taught, he blessed, he died, he bled. He poured out his life's blood to offer you forgiveness of sins, to purchase your salvation. And when people come to see that and serve Christ, God the Father gets glory. In fact, in a parallel text in Ephesians, you see, after Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, he was on the earth for 40 days, and he was exalted to the right side of the Father, and that's when he gave gifts. Did you know that? In Ephesians 4, we read this: grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. God the Father sent Christ the Son. Jesus, working through the Holy Spirit, gave you at least one spiritual gift so that when others see that gift at work in your life, they can rejoice in who God is. They can say, wow, what a wonderful, powerful, amazing God we serve. A glory to God. Praise to Jesus Christ. Amen.